Welcome to Local Matters, our weekly news podcast about what's coming out in Mountain Express and what topics we're keeping up with. Joining me here today in our fancy studio is senior news reporter David Forbes, who's got a couple things to talk to us about, budget-wise, city-wise, etc. He's working on a couple of stories he'd like to tell us about.
Sure. Well, we'll start with the looming issue, as it were, for the city this year, which is the budget, of course. Last year, there was months-long work sessions, months-long budget process, including work sessions, meetings, deliberations, proposed cuts, proposed fee increases, and eventually the city whittled down, with the assistance of its staff, whittled down a $5 million deficit down to balance the budget. They did that through a combination of cutting staff overtime, raising some fees, basically did everything they could to avoid raising property taxes or laying off staff. One of the main stories coming out is basically on kind of the rock and a hard place, or multiple rocks and multiple hard places the city of Asheville finds themselves in. And there are factors to this that are more immediate, like the economic downturn.
So the city continues to face, are they facing a budget shortfall of that?
Yes,
magnitude?
Not of that magnitude necessarily. There's some information coming out from some staff today, actually.
Today at the city council retreat?
At the city council retreat, yes. They're actually saying there are some positive signs as far as property tax revenues and sales tax revenues. At the same time, they made a lot of money off building permit fees and things like that, and those are obviously way down. What they're looking at is a decline from last year. And they are trying to put together what they call a continuation budget. Basically, what can they tweak to make things run, basically, as they did last year? Of course, things may change on that. The elephant in the room here is the state. The state sends about $25 million to Asheville, $15 in sales tax revenues and $10 in others. And of course, the state's facing its own fairly severe budget crisis.
And those revenues in general are down?
Those sales tax revenues, it's not clear yet. They're actually probably a little up from where they were last year. But they're estimating about $25 million in those revenues, and those, of course, could be affected if the state withholds a different amount or tries to use some of that to balance the budget. There's a lot of factors at play here. And basically what the story considers is, how did Asheville get in this situation? There are factors that range back a long term. Asheville has not grown its borders as aggressively as some, for a lot of different reasons. Some out of their control, some in their control, as many other cities in the state have. Asheville does, and because of that, that has some other effects. And other things like the hotel tax does not go to the city, it goes to the Tourism Development Authority. There are long term factors to this, and there are short term factors to this.
And city council members are talking about this very issue at their annual retreat, which is February 4th. They're doing it at Warren Wilson College, and
yes.
You're covering that?
I am, yes. And actually, one thing that came up there are a number of concerns. The city may lose its ability to annex at all. Mayor Bellamy was talking about a full court press on their local legislative delegation to ensure they had some ability to grow. There's a concern that for some laws that affect just Asheville, and some of the new state laws are being considered, will mean Asheville can't grow at all. And that's obviously a huge concern for council. They've discussed the possibility of bond referendum later on to help us in the city's capital needs in the next few years. But yes, the basic budget picture they're going is that they're looking at a slight decline from last year's revenues, and their big focus is going to be to keep the budget intact, keep current services intact. However, if they do face a sharper drop-off, the state withholds some revenues. There's a lot of uncertainties here. And what the budget piece does is consider how likely are various ways, everything from cuts to raising property taxes to raising fees to asking the General Assembly for money even, that the city could take out of this situation, and how likely are they, and how will they affect the citizens of Asheville.
Okay. Thank you, David. We'll stay tuned and be listening to find out what kind of things, what are the details, the nitty-gritty that city council, what ideas they come up with at this retreat. And be on the lookout, folks, for a budget analysis for the city by David coming out soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Joining me now in the Mountain Express podcast studio is reporter Jake Frankel. Jake, we were just talking to David Forbes about the city's budget challenges. The county has a few of their own as well, don't they?
Sure. Just like the city, the county's facing a massive budget crunch. And they're in the process of looking at what they might have to cut and looking at the needs of the different departments. One interesting development recently is that the county manager, Wanda Green, has decided to put out a RFP, a request for proposal, to contract out the services of Mountain Mobility, which is the county's public transit program.
And a lot of folks who use that service.
It's a very important service. It's for a lot of elderly folks and poorer folks out in the county. It's the only way they can get around. And what Green told me the other day was that they want to make sure they maintain the same level of service that they already have, but they want to see if they could save the county some money by contracting out with a private firm. She said that no decisions have been made. They're going to see what kind of proposals they get back and take it from there. This continues a trend we've seen with the county in a lot of other areas, such as health services. And she said this is going to be a thing they're going to be looking out over the next few months in a number of other areas as well. And it's all about trying to maintain services while also cutting costs.
That'd be interesting. And more recently, in the county commissioners met for their regular meeting, and a little bit related to budget issues, they had some school topics they were talking about.
Sure. These days, it seems like everything's related to budget issues. One of the main things they discussed at this week's meeting was the graduation initiative, which is an innovative program with the county schools involving a lot of different agencies. It's a partnership with Eblen Charities to try to make a difference in the graduation rate. And according to Donna Lanahan, the initiative director, they seem to be making an impact. She reported that the dropout rate dropped by 15% last year over the 10-year average. Still, though, there were 350 students who dropped out in the 2009-2010 school year.
Can I get some relation to the numbers there? Do you know how many, what the total there is of students? Say 350 dropped out of...
That's a very good question.
Hopefully by the time we get this in print, you'll have the answer.
I don't know that figure off the top of my head.
Related to the whole school issue, we've caught wind of there's a rally, upcoming rally, about budget cuts at many community teachers. Parents are all worried that a number of teacher positions will be cut or are being cut.
And this graduation initiative is very much related to the state budget crunch. They've gotten the majority of their funding through state grants. They've gotten about $600,000 since the program started in 2007. Mm-hmm. And that goes towards all kinds of efforts they're doing. I mean, they're literally going door to door to kids who drop out of school or even who are having attendance problems to give them one-on-one counseling about what's mm-hmm. going on at home, what's going on with work, see if there's ways they can work with them to make up lost credits and get back on track.
So if they lose that state funding or part of it, they're going to need some help. So perhaps that's why they were coming to the county commissioners to talk about it a little bit?
Absolutely. I think it was kind of a preemptive call for support to see if there's any way they can maintain this service. And, you know, they cast it in economic terms. They had some interesting figures about how much they see a dropout lose over the course of their lifetime in lost wages, taxes, and productivity. And they came up with a figure of $260,000. So their point was that this program has helped about 121 more students stay in school, they figure. And they said that's resulted in a savings of over $31 million. So I think they're hoping the people that are in charge of these budget numbers will look at this and say, oh, well, investing a few hundred thousand dollars in a program that saves us $31 million is really no big deal. We'll have to see if that happens.
And I'm pretty sure it relates also to the push by various economic groups in the Asheville area, from the Chamber of Commerce to Advantage West, to having the best educated workforce is a great part of bringing such companies as Facebook, and which located in nearby Rutherford County, I believe, to this area for jobs. You got to have trained people.
Absolutely.
Speaking of trained people, a little bit, the longtime Register of Deeds, Otto DeBruhl, has announced his retirement, and there's a little bit of politics for what's going to happen with that position. Some folks are interested. He's noted who he thinks is best qualified and should take the job, but the Democratic Party gets to decide.
Yeah, absolutely. Just in the last few days since he announced his retirement, you know, and he was in that position for 32 years. He won 8 consecutive terms. So he was very popular, but now all of a sudden there's a huge...
Well, he rarely had an opponent.
Well, yeah, it's hard to say if that was why that was. But, so now all of a sudden there's this opening, and you're seeing a lot of kind of wrangling within the Buncombe County Democratic Party between some kind of younger leaders and some of the older leaders. DeBruhl has said that he really hopes Joanne Morgan, his longtime assistant, she's been there as long as he has, mm-hmm. working with him at the office, takes over for him. And
maybe we should back up a little bit. Yeah. What the Register of Deeds does, it's a fascinating corner of the Buncombe County Courthouse, and there's some obvious things that folks know that they deal with. The deeds, if you buy a house, sell property, all that gets taken care of in his office. But there's a number of other things they do.
It's a wide range of services. Everything, like you said, from real estate property deeds to birth certificates. And they are really in charge of keeping all
marriage,
the documents that are
licenses.
So important to so many people, keeping them accurate and safe and up to date, and keeping them from being forged. And also, it's important because it is actually one of the few services in the county that generates money rather than takes it away. So what you're seeing is a lot of the debate over who's going to take over the position next is about how to bring in more money and save costs by updating the office, putting things more online. And
right, because there are massive amount of archives here, and you can look back at really old deeds. There is a computerized system for looking up, say, a deed on a piece of property, but probably, yes, some room there for updating.
Yeah, and Morgan, his assistant, is arguing that she's the right person for the job. She's been there. She knows the issues. She knows what they need to do to update the office, and she's saying, look, no one has the experience I have. At the same time, you've got Drew Reisinger, who just threw his hat into the ring, who is a younger guy. He's 27 years old. He has a lot of political organizing experience. He managed Patsy Kiever's winning campaign. Reisinger really wants to use everything he's learned about online marketing and apply that to the office in terms of getting all the deeds online and making it easier for the people in the office to interface using modern technology.
And the other guy who might throw his hat in the ring is Charles Carter.
Well, interestingly enough, yeah, Charles Carter, who is the chairman of the Buncombe County Democratic Party, sounds like he's likely going to join this race, although he hasn't quite committed. He said that he's feeling it out with the executive committee of the Democratic Party, and that if they want him to run, then he will. And he's saying that most people he's talking to want him to run, so...
And he currently owns Mountain Java Coffee House on Merriman Avenue?
He does, and it's the debate among these folks interested in the position is getting quite heated. I mean, Morgan accused both Reisinger of Carter of being interested in the job for their own kind of economic reasons. She said, oh, well, the coffee place isn't doing well, and Reisinger doesn't have work. And, of course, they disagreed with that. But it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
Do either of them have any experience working with those kind of issues, Register of Deeds, legal assistant kind of experience or anything that we know of?
Not as far as I know. And how this is going to play out is anyone's guess at this point. The Democratic Executive Committee gets to vote on this, which is about over 200 people. It's everyone from precinct chairs and vice chairs to local elected leaders to state leaders. And they have 30 days. They have till March 1st to vote someone into this position to fill the rest of DeBrule's two-year term before the next public election in 2012. Carter was saying, though, that the party could opt not to have a vote, in which case the appointment would go to the Buncombe County Commissioners.
That could be interesting.
Yeah.
And with that thought, I think we'll wrap up here. Thanks, Jake, for joining us.
Thank you.
And that's it for Local Matters. Thank you.